Adventures of Uncle Jimmy, a Warner Brothers radio production starring William Farnham. Original story and direction by Edward Lynn. Robert's mother was going to put her seal of approval on Mitzi Brenton without a fight. They weren't members or friends of the Stewart household. As for having any further talks with the personnel director in her husband's office, she could see no point in it. It was the old story. Florence just knew that everyone was against her.
Florence, dear, please try and be open-minded about the whole thing. After all, whatever is best for Rosalind and Robert...
I can't see what's best in Mitzi Brenton's proposal for either of them.
But what harm could it do to any of us if the famous specialist is allowed to examine Rosalind's neck?
Oh, Uncle Jimmy, don't you see what kind of a position this puts all of us in? As it is, we're allegedly indebted to Miss Brenton for Robert's return to work. He personally seems to be indebted to her for his new lease on life, as it were. Intoxication, I'd call it.
Wouldn't it be more kind to say inspiring influence, Florence? We can't deny that the girl has a most exhilarating and tonic effect on young and old alike.
That's very evident, Uncle Jimmy. And on the married and single, principally married, men.
Well, the fact that Rosalind has finally accepted Mitzi, doesn't that mean anything to you?
Personally, I think that Rosalind is making the best of a bad bargain. She certainly doesn't care any more for Mitzi Brenton than I do.
Well, suppose we just let it rest where it is. Another day or so won't make much difference. Let's count our blessings. And lo and behold, before the setting of the sun, we'll certainly discover that infinite riches are right at our fingertips.
You just never give up, do you, Uncle Jimmy? I mean, give up being patient and tolerant.
Well, it's about time I learned a little of both patience and tolerance. When I think of how all of you have put up with my shortcomings.
Your shortcomings? Good heavens, if there were such a word as long coming, I'd make it yours exclusively.
What?
Tell me, what's wrong? It's just a little past your morning recess.
I've got to go to my room for a minute, Mom.
Why, Johnny Stewart...
Florence, looks like he's been crying.
I wonder if the child can be sick.
If you don't mind, I think I'll look in on Johnny.
I don't, but he may be coming down with...
a very severe heartache.
Oh... Well, in that case, the patient is yours. But remember, I'm still pretty good at nursing any kind of a case.
With something Uncle Jimmy can never possess, a mother's love.
It's true, Uncle Jimmy. I didn't take Spike's word for it, but he showed me Betty's ring.
You really think Betty gave it to him?
She must have, Uncle Jimmy. And if a girl gives a fella her ring to wear, why, I guess that makes him her sweetheart.
On what finger was Spike wearing Betty's ring?
On this finger. The one next to the little finger.
Betty must have pretty large hands for such a little girl.
I know it was Betty's ring, because it was exactly like the one that she wears all the time.
Have you any idea where Betty purchased her ring?
She said it came from Slayton's. And that's the place where Daddy got Mom her after-dinner ring. Well, Mom didn't turn green like Betty.
Oh.
If I didn't like Betty a lot, I'd say she got it down at the 5 and 10.
Well, couldn't Spike have visited the 5 and 10 and purchased a ring like Betty's in 2 or 3 sizes larger?
Uncle Jimmy.
Hmm?
Gee, wasn't I dumb?
Why, Spike couldn't even get Betty's ring on his little finger.
That's very excellent deduction, Johnny.
Gee, what, Uncle Jimmy?
Why, oh, well, never mind. You've got it doped out 100%, Johnny.
Say, now what am I going to do? All the kids are back to their classes by now, and what'll I tell teacher?
Oh, we'll let Mother tell it in a little note.
Say, but she mustn't mention Betty's name. She can say I skipped school or anything.
I don't think we'll have to mention anyone's name. Teachers were little boys and girls themselves not so very long ago, and I think they'll understand.
Well, what will Mom say in the note, Uncle Jimmy?
Oh, just say that something got in your eyes and they filled up so quickly you couldn't even see the world for just a minute or two.
But we can't say it was a cinder, Uncle Jimmy.
No, Johnny, but we can say it was just a little bit of life.
Mother Jensen, why don't you take your washing over to Mrs. Stewart? She said you were welcome to use her washing machine anytime.
Land welcome. What kind of exercise would I get out of a washing machine? This is one of the ways I keep my girlish figure.
Well, are you going to let me rinse?
I'll think it over. Washing clothes is something I'm mighty fussy about.
Then let me mix the bluing water.
That's another thing I'm fussy about. But I will let you run the carpet sweeper over the rug in the parlor.
That certainly is being helped.
And I'll let you help make the dessert tonight, too.
All right, but if this is living the life of a lady, why...
You just keep on improving your mind, Rosalind, dear. It's not doing a good big day's work over the tub or at the stove that keeps a husband these days. And it's no longer the old-fashioned idea that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. It's a battle of wits.
I shouldn't ever want to keep Bobby if he doesn't want to stay. And when that time comes...
And pray the Lord that it never will be.
When that time comes, I want to send him on his way to another woman and another life with my blessing.
Rosalind, let me dry my hands and take in my arms for just a minute. There's nothing gonna happen to a daughter of mine. I can prevent it. That's what I'm for, dear, to watch over you. All my life I wanted a daughter. And now I've got one.
Oh, Mother.
And I'm double blessed, because I'll know the joy of being a grandmother someday soon. Now, Rosalind, you just better get that parlor rug swept.
Oh, all right. Just as you say.
And I would like a little time by myself so I can get this washing done and hung up in the attic to dry. Now, run along before I scold.
I shan't prove to be disobedient. I'll do just as you say, Grandmother Jensen.
Grandmother Jensen. Grandmother Jensen. Oh, that's music to my ears. And it takes so little to make a body happy. We fuel the land.
Mom! Mom, look at this lovely tamarind scarf Mrs. Jensen made for me. Aren't they just adorable?
I don't know where that woman finds time to do all the things she does.
You think Frankie will like it?
Yes, if he sees it.
Why, of course he'll see it.
Well, don't be surprised if he doesn't. There are moments, my dear, when men have eyes for nothing.
Except beautiful and charming women.
Oh, Dorothy has an idea you mean us, Uncle Jimmy.
I certainly do. And now I must away.
with a shovel in your hand.
Yes, ma'am, with a shovel in my hand. And if you think the fur, the snow won't fly, you just look out the window.
It wouldn't hurt Arnold Stewart to shovel a little snow before dinner. Might help his appetite.
Well, I wouldn't worry about your husband's appetite, Florence.
Hey, Uncle Jimmy, wait for me.
Young man, you march right back to your room and get your sweater and gloves. And overshoes, too.
Okay. I'll be right out, Uncle Jimmy.
That's fine. I'll be waiting for you.
I bet it's 60 below zero right now. Boy, oh boy.
You'd think that Johnny never saw a snowstorm in his whole life before. Well, Dorothy, are you glued to that mirror?
I'm wondering which way the wind is going to blow. I hope it's a headwind. Then this scarf will blow over my shoulders. Be real snag.
Well, I'm glad that's settled, dear. Now, just pretend the wind is blowing on your back and whisking you away into the kitchen.
Oh, gee, Mom. I'll get my hands all soiled.
Into the kitchen, my dear. Into the kitchen.
Oh, Mother, do I have it?
There comes Daddy and Brother Robert. Daddy! Daddy!
Hey, blows, Johnny. Hey, hey, you little tyke. Come back here. It's pretty hard for Daddy to see what's ahead of him.
Daddy, I'm helping Uncle Jimmy. Say, Uncle Jimmy, don't you suppose it's almost dinner time?
Johnny, I think you've got something there, but if we shovel with a will...
What's the use of shoveling anymore, Uncle Jimmy? It's snowing harder and harder.
Oh, never say die and don't give up the ship.
I'm not giving up the ship, but I am my snow shovel. Daddy, here's my shovel. Mom said she wanted you to have a swell appetite for dinner.
You did, eh, you little rascal? All right, Uncle Jimmy, I'm glad to see you. All right, now, let's die with a will, huh?
Hey, Daddy, your shovel's only got a little snow on it.
That youngster sees everything. Well, how's the family today, Uncle Jimmy?
The family is plural. I just fine. And how did Bobby stand the work today?
Oh, I didn't phase him in the least. In fact, when we left the office, he was all for staying on and working on some more accounts.
You know, that's really remarkable. Oh, I had a little talk with Mrs. Stewart about Mitzi.
And I know the answer. Nothing doing. That's flurry all over.
Well, I thought the wisest thing was to just drop the issue. Of course, I'd hate to wait so long that this famous specialist would get away from the city.
Miss Brenton is watching out for that. Oh, my, I wish that Florence would just see that Miss Brenton is no menace to anyone's home or happiness.
Well, one thing we can't tell her, and that is that Bobby perhaps is more interested in Miss Brenton than she is in him.
What's that?
You forgive me for saying such a thing, won't you, Mr. Stewart? But, well, it's just one man to another and all part of life and this business of living.
Well, you don't offend me in the least, Uncle Jimmy. Bobby's young, and lately he's just been filled with the joy of living. And while he's my own boy, I hope he doesn't develop an eye that looks too often in the direction of the ladies.
That certainly is an admission from the father of Robert Stewart, and does in some sense confirm the suspicion Miss Brenton had the first time she saw Rosalind's husband. If Mrs. Stewart were to know this, would it change her opinion of Mitzi?